Just as newly baptized Christians in the early church were clothed with white robes upon arising from the baptismal waters, so all who have received God's gift of life in Jesus Christ are covered with the character of Christ. Our reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs of God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. O God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you through the one whom we proclaim our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we continue on the study of baptism, the gifts which God gives us with these ordinary things of water and word, promises given through the sharing of Christ's very own baptism as our baptism, the promise of God claiming us as God's own beloved child as we are, defining who we are in relationship to whose we are. And God gives us these free and tangible gifts in which we share with others in the covenant of baptism. First, the gift of people. God gives us companions in the Spirit to nurture our faith, and those in whom we get to witness to also. Second, we learned last week about the tangible, transformative gift of word and meal. How they console us, yet at the same time challenge us in our lives and walk with Christ to be healed and to heal others. Today we explore that third gift, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ in word and deed. To share God's impact, God's presence within our own lives through proclamation. Brothers and sisters, I really believe this to be a gift because it draws us closer to God. There's a saying that the best way to learn something is to teach it. Well, when we teach or share, it gives us opportunities for us to think more intentionally, more deeply about God's always and continuous presence within our lives. In baptism, Jesus invites us through the equipping of the Holy Spirit to give thanks and share how we've experienced God's perfect love for ourselves. We proclaim the need for God's grace and God's response, God's gift of free, unmerited, unconditional grace for us, for you, for for me, for all of the world. That is God's perfect love. So let's dig into this promise. First, proclaim. Now, proclaim, when we think about our daily lives, it's easy to share good news with our friends and family. We're excited to share about the new restaurant we discovered or the great movie we just saw, or perhaps even a recent family trip and all that transpired during that, or new news that is taking place in the family. These words come automatically and they come with emphasis. But proclamation sounds a bit preachy. It sounds like something that belongs to the pastor to do, or the deacon, or other church professionals. Surely that's not meant for just, well, the laity. But it is. And I want to distinguish here, too, the difference between proclaiming and proselytizing. You see, proselytizing is an event where we try to convert someone to believe the same things in which we believe. Proclaiming is different. Proselytizing is not our job. It isn't our job to convert people. The Holy Spirit does that. We are simply just planters of those seeds, of that word, of that good news of Christ. So we're called to proclaim. We're called to declare something that we consider important with its due emphasis. We are called to declare with emphasis the good news of God in Christ. This good news is the best news. News that drives out fear, that gives hope, that sheds light, and transforms lives. And God calls, God entrusts us to be the proclaimers here and now of that great news. To proclaim the good news of God in Christ in word and deed. Today's scripture passage, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Word and deed are meant to be held together. We all have experiences in our lives where we've witnessed words without action and resonate without the cheapness of that. Also, action without words doesn't tell a story. It doesn't tell the good news in which we're called to share. Words carry weight. They have impact. They are meant to be supported by our action. Likewise, our actions, our deeds, are to be supported by our words. We can't assume people know the one who has called us in baptism, sealed us with the Holy Spirit, marked us with the cross of Christ forever, forgiven our sins, and promised eternal life to us. We can't assume this. And even in those situations where perhaps you're finding a blank, you don't know what words, they're not coming, you don't know what to say, trust the Spirit will give you those words. Christ promises that for you. He promises it to the end of time. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, the epistle writes, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." So how can we do this? How can we be prepared? How can we share the hope we have with gentleness and respect? In our Colossians text this morning, it reads, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." How do we convey this thanks? How do we convey Christ dwelling inside of you and me? I believe it begins with practicing and building a capacity to listen. To listen to other people with an ear to God, to the questions that are ever present. Because people are searching. They're looking for meaning and direction within their lives. These are the opportunities we ready to speak the hope that is within you. Our faith with competence and clarity. So this morning, rather than me just telling you how to do this, we are going to do this together. Because this is a safe place in which we can try things with people we know, trust, and love. It's not about getting things right. It's just about expressing, telling your story. And so lucky for you, yesterday at our workshop, we got a great exercise, which I'm going to share with you all, entitled Creating an Opportunity to Share Your Faith and or Invite. The Holy Spirit gives us opportunity every day to share our faith and or to invite someone to meet Jesus in or through us or our congregation. Many of these opportunities are occasions for planting seeds. How and if these seeds grow is the work of the Holy Spirit. However, we have the privilege of being the sowers. In our daily conversations, we can respond in common, ordinary ways, or we can respond in ways that sow seeds. The challenge is to think before we respond. And so I'm going to give you a scenario, and we're going to discuss it together. So the first scene, you're sitting in a doctor's office, and you strike up a conversation with the person next to you. This young woman says to you, "I am worried about my little boy. He just hasn't felt well in a long time." What is your response? I'll do the first one to help ease the tension. So something I might say is, I have a little boy too, and I worry deeply when he is sick. Because I feel helpless and I can't do anything for him. But what I can do is I hold him when he needs comforted. And I pray with him. May I pray with you for your son. Now notice what I said here. I used I statements. I didn't use a you statement because you statements put people on defense. They're accusatory. You should pray for your son. What kind of mother are you? That's not helpful. That's not helpful at all. But say, relate to that person, telling how God is interwoven in your own experience. I'll also say that at least statements aren't helpful either. At least your son is alive. At least you're at the doctor's office. You know, and these are always well-intentioned statements, but they don't help. So I statements. All right, so here's a good one. I think will be relevant for tomorrow, so we can practice for tomorrow. So it's Monday morning. You're at work or at home or wherever you are amongst people, and someone asks you what you did for the Super Bowl that was fun. What do you say? And this time I am looking for answers, so.
Well, if it was Saints playing, I would have said, I prayed for my team to win.
So I prayed for my, if it were the Saints, I would have prayed for my team. Yeah, so remember, we're thinking about God, we're thinking about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, thinking about faith, prayer, blessings, the church. What else might we say? Someone asked you about what you did was fun for the Super Bowl. I ate buffalo wings. You made them. So I used God's gift of cooking that was given to me to make the most delightful buffalo wings. Remember, we're intentional about God language. Yes, yes. Football is a violent sport. And I prayed for no serious injuries. Yes, I took some time. Yes, I took some time before the game to walk through God's beautiful creation. I started the day at worship, and man, Pastor Josh was on fire. And if you don't think that's true, don't say that. The music was great. We talked about baptism. Little openings. All right, scenario number three. I think this is one we can relate to also. A neighbor has not been feeling well or has just arrived home from the hospital, and so you take some food over to their house. They invite you in to visit for a few minutes. In the conversation, the person says to you, "It is so nice of you to bring this food." What is your response? I am so blessed to have wonderful neighbors. Yes. What else might we say? People that were at the event yesterday, if you remember the responses, please feel free to jump those in also. Yes, when I'm sick, people from my church bring me meals and it always makes me feel, it helps me to feel cared for.
And reminded of God.
And reminded of God's love. You see, in these statements, we're not proselytizing, but just creating an opening, planting a seed of curiosity in which people might explore. Oh, your church does that? Tell me more. I wanted you to know that I'm praying for your recovery. Claiming prayer as a central part of your life. One more. A friend tells you that she or he has not gone to church for a long time, or maybe even a stranger. You know, when I tell people I'm a pastor, this is the most common response I get. I haven't been to church in a while, so I'm looking for your wisdom. So they tell you they haven't gone to church in a while. In fact, they are mad at God, feeling that God has abandoned them. What do you say? How do you respond? Mm-hmm.
You can say, I can relate to that if you have those had those experiences in the past, because I think a lot of us have.
One yeah.
One of them has been pissed off
at yeah.
a church or what we've, where we attended. Something kind of got on our crawl or whatever. But the other part of it is that you can say, well, you should come to our church. Our Lutheran church. Nobody ever comes to a Lutheran church.
So yeah, relating through empathy, if you've shared this own experience in your lives, even if it was just, you know, a brief moment or a prolonged period, sharing in that struggle, that wrestling with God and God's presence in one's own life. Yes, yes, to give that message of hope that God loves them still and God isn't going anywhere. God is with them in this wrestling, and that's okay. And when they're ready, God will be waiting for them and the church will be there to receive them. Yes. What Virginia said is it's harder to work up the courage to invite people to church. Yes, that is so true. And, one of the interesting facts we learned yesterday is that over 80% of people who come and visit a church is because they were invited by you all. Only 6% come because the pastor invited them. And it's not because pastors aren't inviting. It's because you have, more than likely, have that relationship with folks already to extend that warm welcome. And so I think one thing that can make it easier is if we can think of specific examples of how, knowing that person, how they might fit in, how they might experience Christ here. Whether it be through... Go ahead, David.
Church, like a food pantry or something like that.
Yes.
Or just talk about an environment that's big about things that scare out there about church. Because usually it's the church that they better do. People don't like, I don't want to do church, you know, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, so give specific examples of the food pantry. You know, this Thursday, I'm going to go help out the food pantry that my church participates in. Why don't you come along? It's yada, 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 whatever you love about that. On Sunday, we're having the cantata, and they just beautifully just do such beautiful work in sharing this story about God's love for us. On Wednesday or Thursday night, we're going to meet at the coffee shop and drink beer or coffee and talk about faith. Find that thing that you're passionate about, that you're interested in, and share that specific examples, I think can help ease that. Because people aren't looking for our theology. They get bombarded with that junk all the time. Yes, the pastor said theology is junk. It's not junk, but the way we use it, sometimes it is. People are seeking, longing for, searching for relationships. So tell those relational stories of how this place has impacted you, how God has shown up through these people, through this space, through the ministries in which you participate in, whether they're here or elsewhere. Creating an opportunity to share your faith. Again, just planting those seeds, even if it's just mentioning the word God, the word church, pastor, whatever it is. Just mentioning, inserting. Somebody's asking for directions. Oh, you go past my church down Markham and then go south on University. It can be as simple as that. Just creating space. Planting those seeds. The Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. And these opportunities, these ministry opportunities, they are given to us, as we saw in these examples, all the time, every day through ordinary conversation. And it involves both using our words and our acts of love. Using our words and acts of love to encourage others with that hope we have in Jesus Christ. But in order to be ready to speak and act on God's promises with other people, we first need to listen carefully to what others are saying to us. These come as both verbal and non-verbal cues. What are people saying to us? One of my favorite passages in the Old Testament comes from 1 Kings, and it's when King Solomon has been named king, and he's with God, and God asks him, "What do you want?" And now King Solomon could have asked for riches and popularity and just mightiness, but instead he responds with, "I am yet a boy, and you've given me this great nation of your people. I don't know what to do." And he asks for a discerning heart. A discerning heart. This is the prayer I say for myself as being a leader in God's church. That I might have a discerning heart to be able to hear, to be able to listen, to be able then to respond and share God's love. To proclaim the good news of God and Christ in word and deed is to listen to others with an ear to God. Listen for an opening of where God is longed for, meets God's presence through you. Through you sharing the hope of Jesus that is in you. Because there are people all around us that think hope is lost, that want to get up. People who feel alone, who are angry, who are scared, who are tired. People who can't bear the thought of another ounce of bad news. Those are people here in this faith community. Those are people outside we encounter through the week. People who need, people who long for good news. And only the good news of Jesus Christ can begin to comfort, can begin to heal those individuals. You, me, those who hurt. So receive, extend words and actions. Again, from Colossians, our passage for today. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Brothers and sisters, only the good news of God in Christ can right wrongs. Only the good news of God in Christ can cast out loneliness and fear and anger. Only the good news of God in Christ can shine light in the darkness. The light of Christ that radiates from all of you. Amen.